I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to the Green Room Press. I'm your host, Ruben Arthur. In this episode, I'm going to attempt to tackle the topic of relationships from a different angle. We'll look at some reasons why people may behave dishonestly, hear from R&B duo Division about how they go about making certain additions to their love life, and hopefully rectify some pitfalls in my psychology. Let's roll the dice.
I love games. I think I love games more than anything else on this planet. Scratch that, almost anything else. Sorry, Mom. And Kez. And Corinna. And Jay. Okay, you know what? Outside of my family, a few loved ones, and maybe Rice, it's safe to say that games hold the space closest to my heart. All types of games as well. Like, I grew up on Bulldog, Runout, Kiss Chase, the PS2 at After School Club, and I got hella acquainted, so I can button mash on Tekken 4 like nobody's business, and I definitely know my way around a dance mat. My house always kept a Ludo board on deck like any good Ghanaian family would, and we had our wire case on a mantelpiece like it was an heirloom. That love for games just grew and grew as I did. The point I'm trying to make is, gaming is more than a hobby for me. It's a way of life. Now, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you want to look at it, you can't turn that off. Once your life is a game, everyone's a player, whether they know it or not. Get ready for the next battle. Now, games come in different shapes and sizes, but at their core, they're all the same. They have their rules, which are made to keep everybody in line, but also to let everybody know not only when they've lost, but when they've won. These rules are important. Imagine a game where everybody breaks the rules. What would even be the point in playing? I mean, having said that, what if, like, unbeknownst to anyone else, one or two or a few people slightly bent the rules? Just a little. Just a smidge. But, like, nobody else knew. Like, okay, imagine we're all playing Monopoly, right? And you've got your dog and your iron and your car, your top hat, your thimble. I always thought it was like a really rubbish cup, but okay, we move. Your thimble. Anyway, I'm the dog, right? And imagine every time I pass go, the banker slips me an extra 100. I mean, you're none the wiser, but technically, yeah, right, I'm cheating. And it's wrong, but only because you know, right? So what if you didn't? Cheaters cite many different reasons for the actions they choose to take, ranging from the abusive, you drove me to it, to the dismissive, I just could, it's nothing personal. Ultimately, their actions can be boiled down to one thing, greed. Think back to our game of Monopoly. On each turn, every player gets one roll of both die, unless, of course, they roll doubles, after which an additional role is rewarded. See, this sounds great, but much like Icarus who flew too close to the sun, no good thing comes without its consequences. Three doubles in a row, and you go straight to jail. It seems, then, like that would be the place to just visit, to try and understand the psychology of a cheater. And I think I know just the inmate to call. Give me a sec.
An inmate at Correctional Center.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring. You may start the conversation now.
It's all man, it's been a long, as in, so my girl's come over now, or my ex-girl's come over to mine, chilling, whatnot, have a good day, go out, go to eat, then I'm going to bed, I'm tired, she's got work to do, and obviously she's asking, she used my laptop to do work, I'm like, cool, I'm asleep now, she wakes me up crying, I'm like, yo, B, what's wrong, like, why are you crying, she was like, is there anything you want to tell me? I'm like, nah, is there something you want to tell me? You're crying. Now, these times, I knew what the issue was. I'm like, nah, why are you crying? What do you want to tell me? She was like, well, I was on your laptop when on WhatsApp web to do work. I saw a name. Obviously, she's seen the name of someone I've told her about that I liked before her. And she's had a read. Shouldn't have had a read because it wasn't her business, but she's had a read now. Seen some things she weren't meant to see, learned some things she weren't meant to learn, and yeah, man got caught cheating. She got the truth eventually in it. That's about, as of right now, man's just, man's locked up, man.
I'm gonna leave you to that, bro. Think about what you've done. Love. What's the difference between a house and a hotel? In Monopoly, a couple things. I mean, obviously, the colour. Like, one's green, the other's red. And of course, you can't even begin to think about a hotel until you own all the properties in a colour group. And got four houses on each. Big myth. Makes it all the sweeter when someone lands on it, though. Got me feeling like HMRC out here. But it's deeper than that. You see, for me, there are distinctions between the two. A house is where I live, and there are certain things that I would and wouldn't do in my place of living. Like, I want my family in my house, you know? I wouldn't open those doors to anybody. The house, my home, in fact, should be sacred. It's a fortress of familiarity, a castle of companionship. Inside this house is everything I am, and everything I've become with those with whom I've chosen to grow. I should love my house and those in it. Sure, it won't always be smooth sailing. Even the families who seem happiest on the outside have rough days. But that's just it. The house is the place where we deal with those days. I'm not one to air my dirty laundry. I'd rather deal with it in the place with the washing machine. Boy, I can't speak on an entire hotel because I ain't got that kind of money. But a room? Completely different connotations there. The main question is this. What is it that I'm about to do that I can't do in my house? And why? I mean, hotel rooms are less accommodating than entire houses, so I can't be there because I need something my house lacks. I mean, sure. Sometimes hotels are just convenient, like if you need to be in another city at an inconvenient time for traveling. But if you're catching my drift, you'll know that is not what I'm talking about. Maybe you're meeting with someone who you'd rather not have around your family or just knowing where you live. Someone with whom you share a lot of intimacy, but it's shallow. Lust, but not love. Perhaps it's someone with whom you shouldn't even be meeting for whatever reason. But the nonchalant nature of the hotel staff is much less worrisome than the reaction of your relatives. If love is war, then a house would be a dedicated soldier, ever reliable and true. But a hotel room would be an assassin for hire, ready to partake in whatever underhand activity, so long as the price is met. Most people understand that once you enter a hotel room, you only have until checkout to utilize it to its full capabilities. You can't live there, but you will definitely feel alive. Time is of the essence. If walls could talk, a house would speak volumes. The question is, does a hotel?
Does a hotel? I got that one. Listen, Ruben, it's been 2 or 3 months since you started these sessions, and to be completely honest with you, I haven't seen much progress. You continue to hide your emotions using these long-winded metaphors, and it's obvious to me that you're afraid of how you actually feel. So, in order for us to, you know, reach the goals we set out when you started these sessions, I think it'll be good for you to sit down with some friends of mine. They're from Canada. They're signed to OVO Records, and I feel like they might be able to help you, you know, open up about your romantic life. I'll give you their addresses.
Historically, you guys have been very low-key, kind of mysterious in your approach with things. You barely show your faces in any videos and that, but in Not Crying, you know, front and center, amongst many, many beautiful women. So thank you for that, Carl.
Shout out to those women.
Yeah, it was a really nice 4 minutes for me. But what changed? What changed? Why did you want to start putting yourselves out there a bit more?
Nothing changed except for just growth.
It is just growth. I don't think it's a change.
We're slowly opening the doors, you know? We're letting people in slowly to everything. So that's the first time people even heard us in that mood, in that environment, you know? First people ever heard us with somebody else on a song.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much more to the vision that people haven't been able to see yet. Mm. So we're just showing them little by little.
I think that's our personality too. Like, there's some people, you'll meet them, and the first time you meet them, they tell you the whole life story.
Yeah.
With us, it's like, we'll get to know you a little bit more, and then we'll invite you to the house. Yeah, you know, come by, hang out for a bit.
Yeah, because not everyone can come to your house, innit?
Nah.
Not everyone comes to your house. Your mom will start complaining, all of that. Certain people you don't want to see, or the inside of your house and that. Will that affect that growth that you're on? Is that going to affect the sound that we're going to hear going forward?
What, being seen?
Yeah, just as a part of your growth and your journey.
I think that what's going to change now is that people are going to realize that division isn't only for just for the bedroom. Division isn't only for when you got your broken heart and you want to go, you know, getting your feelings about it. Like, this new album is going to have a different take and a different, like, there's going to be a division record for any mood, basically, at the end of the day. You know, it's going to have a lot more range and versatility, but while still giving you the records that you guys want from us, you know?
Your music, like I said, again, it's all about, well, a lot of it is to do with relationships and relations, as it were. Mm-hmm. And it sounds beautiful, but like, it's not always about love. What's you lot's experience with, like, situationships?
We probably have way more experience than we should.
Speak on it, King.
Before we were on the road, we were probably both in kind of similar situations where we weren't fully committed to something, but there was a certain level of commitment expected.
Yeah.
And then you hit the road and you add in thousands of other factors.
Yeah.
Time, temptations, inspiration, and just muses in general.
I like the way you're putting this.
I just like that he called them inspirations. Right? That's incredible. I'm going to use that.
100%. I'm taking that as well. But like, yeah, I'm just so inspired right now in this club.
You're just an inspiration to me.
Would you recommend them for, like, people?
Situationships?
Yeah.
Only if they're transparent. Mm. You know, I think the difference between me and MP was, I think he learned that before I did. You know, he became a little bit more, like, transparent with his situations, or a lot closer to being transparent with his situations than I was. I was still like, okay, I'm not gonna tell her that, you know, I'm not gonna say it like that. But now I'm kind of like at a place where it's like, you know what, the more I'm like dedicated to being honest with it.
100%.
Because it's just like, I don't even want the karma that comes from the lies. And I don't want the energy that comes from the hiding and the secrets, you know? It's just like, 100%. And once you have those on both ends, it's like, okay, what are we even doing right now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so I think if you guys are both keeping it a buck, then yeah, sure. You could situationship can be a good situation.
And also, it's about expectations.
Yeah.
If you don't have the same expectations, it kind of doesn't matter what the in-between stuff is.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to be on the opposite end of, you know, whatever the goal was. The expectations are different, and one person's goal is this. The person with a different expectation is going to be like, oh, yeah, we reached the goal. And they'll be like, no, we didn't. You reached your goal.
Mm.
But you can say the same thing for sex.
100%. Most people, they both don't be reaching the goal. Someone normally reaches the goal.
Somebody doesn't reach the goal.
Someone's a little bit disappointed.
Somebody, yeah.
Is that something that you've experienced? Not in sex, obviously. We'll leave that for a little bit. But not in sex. In the expectation, is that something that you've both experienced where you've expected one thing and someone else expected something else from you and there's been that kind of mismatch?
Yeah, I think that, you know, sometimes I go in with the expectation that you just understand things that haven't been said.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess that's my bad at the end of the day, because, you know, I guess we never really said it like that, but I'm like, I thought you knew that. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, and then at the same time, the other end is hearing them expect, like, yo, I thought it was going to be this, and I thought you'd at least do this, or you wouldn't do that, or, you know. So.
Or I expect you to respond to a situation the way I would.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, and that's where, especially between men and women, their responses and ours,
they send the essay, we send the we send the answer to the very last question. You know, the most recent thing that you said is what I'm trying to address right now.
Yeah, man.
You know, so
one of the other stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, you're gonna get me in trouble, man. What would a perfect relationship be like for you? So now that you've both gone through, you know, the experience of going on the road and experiencing these inspirations, could you imagine or picture what a perfect relationship would be like for the both of you?
One that you don't think about. Mm. One that you're just being. You're not thinking about what is, what should be, if this is going to upset them, if I'm doing the right thing. You're just kind of just doing. And you guys know each other enough that you're both just existing.
I mean, I agree. For me, it would be, I mean, if I'm going to get more specific, it would probably be, it's just someone as easygoing as I am, as long as it's not like disrespect.
Yeah.
You know, I need somebody that's going to be looking for the solution, looking for the progress, looking for the positive. If you're coming into this and you're upset about something and you're just looking to now, because you're upset, you want to make me upset, or you want to, you know, tear something down. It's like, no, if the only time you should destroy is to build. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're taking that down, it better be because you're putting something higher up there. You know, you don't just tear it down just to tear it down. So as long as someone has that same ideal of like, I'm only going to war so that way we can be better.
Yeah.
Then it's like, okay, cool. But if you're going to war to go to war, it's like, you know, what are we doing?
Yeah. No, I hear you. And I think as men, I want to say that all of us have experienced a moment where we've been so far removed from the war. Like, maybe we just be like in a club or like in a party, mm-hmm. or whatever, and you get like, you know, the first shot of war. It's just like you're not in that place, and it's like, why are
you doing this?
Is that something that you've experienced? Like, you've been in a party or like...
You started this off by saying we're all men, so yeah, we've all experienced that, absolutely, because they are all women. You know, they don't care where it is. They move off of, you know, the drive of an emotion. So
yeah.
When emotion hits, they move, they react, they, you know. So it's it's important for us as men to understand that,
yeah.
at the end of the day, you know. And then at that moment be like, hey, realize where we are. Realize what's happening right now. We don't have to do this like this. I understand what your problem is. Now let's address it and let's get back to being positive. If she's reciprocates that same type of energy, then you got a chance.
Mm.
If it's like, no, I don't want to. Then okay, then here we go. You know?
Oh, my days. No, I hear you. Daniel said that you got there to this level of emotional, I don't know, let's call it emotional stability or maturity or understanding a bit quicker than he did. So how would you handle that situation? Like if a woman started to go off on you and you were in a neutral environment, let's call it.
I'm bad for that because I'm already very, I'm a man of very few words.
Mm.
So for a woman who wants to discuss everything at length, and I already am not that person, even if it's not in a situation of conflict.
Yeah.
So when you add the conflict to it, I'll just go to the most basic solution that I see to it, and I'll be like, okay, you said 17 different things. This right here is what we need to talk about. Mm. I'll talk about this right here.
Mm.
And they're just going to be like, no, I asked you 16 other things. And I'm like, I get that.
Yeah,
but none of those things really matter in this moment. You're just listing off all the things that are bothering you.
Yeah.
How about we talk about the thing that we can both progress from? That we can, you know, we can actually, like, change in some way.
100%.
I'm also another person that if I don't think there's a way to change it, I'm not talking about it. I'm not... What am I going to do? I can't change it, so I'm not going to keep going back and forth on it.
You might just be my new favorite person in the whole world. Like, you just get it. But then we're all men, like you said earlier, so we would all get it. It's not us that need to get it. It's we need to understand them, and we need to get to a more mutual understanding.
And vice versa.
Man. Earlier, you said that the new album is going to give a lot of different kinds of moods. It's going to give a lot of division. That's, you know, not just for the bedroom, or not just for when you're upset. Fortunately or unfortunately, how depends on how you want to look at it. At the moment, a lot of your stuff is on a lot of people's sex playlists. Yes. And I hope you're aware of that.
Yes.
It's definitely on mine.
We are aware.
So my question is, what is on your sex playlist? Like, do you lot listen to yourselves? Like,
No. Not once.
Never.
Never have I used it for
I've
those
I've never turned
purposes.
On my own song to do my own work.
That's really narcissistic.
I was, I would think so.
That's no, really, but to be honest, I know a lot of these R&B dudes are doing that.
They're narcissists.
100% of a lot of these R&B dudes are doing that.
Yeah,
I know
for sure.
This. I know this.
Guaranteed.
Ooh, shots fired. What do you listen to, like, when you're in that mood? What would you throw on?
Honestly, I don't even... Most of the times, I don't even...
I like music that doesn't make you focus.
Yeah, for sure. And that's hard for me with music, because music makes,
I like
makes,
things
makes
that
my
are
mind
just,
get into it.
Like, I'd rather put on the Sade album than the Bump and Grind album.
Okay.
Because the Sade album, you can run and not think of in that way, whereas the Bump and Grind album,
it's
I'm actually like...
taking in the songs.
Yeah.
And I want to listen to women. I don't want to listen to... On my sex playlist, it's women.
Transmission Roundhouse.